and even and to Mega Meg, which could not make it. He's very busy, so to replace him today is my personal co-host. Get up here. Hey.
Doesn't do so good with
keys. There we go.
Yay. Oh, never mind.
It's Ray the cat.
It's Ray. Hey, Ray.
She, hates noobs, loves to use a shotgun, and will teabag you when you die, so
a shotgun
watch out for her.
Wielding teabagging kitty puss, that's excellent.
with a better beard than Mag.
Yeah, man.
Uh-huh.
And you must
sounds
be
like it's an all 80% beard, of the community's worst nightmare. A shotgunning teabag cat? God.
A true nightmare in the Crucible.
Oh. Right then.
How are you guys doing today? What's going on?
Yeah.
We had a fun weekend. Bonesy and I went down to Philly for Swain's wedding. Swain being one of the hosts of Crucible Radio was kind enough to invite us both, and we had a damn good time.
It was fun. It was Game of Thrones themed, not specifically, but that's just how Swain lives. He lives like a Viking. There were goblets and steins and horns and a pie with fish faces sticking out of it. It was I ate a duck leg. I drank mead, and then we danced to 80s music, like all Vikings do.
Historically, as Vikings were known to do.
Yeah, they wanted to keep it as accurate as possible, true to the times. I actually did squeeze in a hard mode before I left for Philly, but there's so much to talk about, and one clan beat everyone before anyone can finish it, but I don't know how to say their name.
Die Busfahrer.
You know, we're going to go with that until someone tells us that it's not right.
Yes.
German champions of German beastly champions, I think, is I think it's the bus drivers in English, so we'll just call them the bus drivers, hopefully.
Did anybody watch any of the World First streams?
I was too busy playing it. I was too busy streaming it myself.
That's good. That's a good problem to have. There was a couple of teams who were just neck and neck, like Slayer's group and Tfue's group. They were literally neck and neck, and both of them wound up losing because of some of the craziest things happening. I think Tfue's group during the Death Zamboni phase, they kind of got screwed over by the game. They beat the Zamboni phase, but then they were rushing forward and got ahead of it to jump off the cliff and just leave it behind. And I guess Bungie put in like some sort of anti-cheese mechanism for people who get too far away from it. Killed them before the Zamboni went over the cliff, and they died. They had to wipe and restart the entire phase.
Oh, no.
That hurt me. Yeah. That hurt me bad.
I wasn't competing for World's First or anything, but something like that did happen that wiped my group on Xbox One. I can't remember where we were. Actually, no, we were fighting Axis, the final phase. And the delivery that we had ordered for dinner, the guy started knocking on the door. We were like, oh, God. What do we do? I was just shouting. I was like, hold on. Just wait a second. We were playing 2 minutes more. Knocks on the door. I was like, oh, God, I can't leave him out there. So I had to go get the food. And
rip.
We wiped. The rare Chinese food takeout raid wipe.
I can't believe you would yell at him to wait for your raid.
I know.
I'm
so
raiding
close.
In here.
I was like, just get minute. I should have told him just to leave the food and go, because we have paid on Grubhub, including the tip, already. Grubhub. So we should have just told him to leave it and go and have a good night.
That tickles me. There is something called Grubhub online.
Of course. Yes.
That's amazing.
It does exist.
Grubhub is fantastic. Free plug, by the way. Enjoy. Yeah.
Not sponsored.
We're talking about
everybody
sponsors.
Gets one. Maybe
everybody gets one.
Give him a call.
Sure. I'll get my people on the phone with them.
Well, hey, before we dig into hard mode, we're going to talk about the mechanics and the nitty-gritty details and everything that's changed from normal mode. There's a few other things covered in This Week at Bungie. One of the things that is on everyone's mind, and in just 2 days from now, will be the Festival of the Lost, which brings along a lot of cool new stuff. Another one of those moments where I throw money at my screen, like the prophecy foretold.
God.
There's a few items I'm really, 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 really hoping I'm getting, and hopefully it doesn't cost me too much money.
Yeah.
Did you see that Festival of the Lost trailer that they put out?
Yeah. I have not seen this trailer yet.
You have got to watch that trailer, buddy. I know we were out all weekend, but I was watching it on the bus ride home. Oh, so awesome. They were showing probably not everything, but they were showing all the new masks, and they were showing new emotes, and how the tower looks, and Eris Morn was narrating the trailer, which was really cool, and everything got me so, so hyped for Festival of the Lost.
Yeah, I was on the Instagram.
Candy can't save you now.
Candy can't save you now.
It was something like that, as delivered with such potency.
It was like, candy is a fickle...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember the exact line. It's going to drive me crazy, but if you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it.
It's not very long. It's only like a minute and a half, but they shoved a lot of stuff in there. You get to see a lot of the new masks. We get to see some of the new emotes. You get to see some of the new ghosts and whatnot we've got in there. You've got a ghost
who's
literally wearing a ghost outfit. Yeah,
that was so funny. Yeah. The little ghost with the ghost sheet on top of him. Oh, adorable.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited.
I'm telling you right now, I don't care how much it costs. I am buying the wolf howl emote. That's happening. That's happening day one.
I think the terrified one where you float up in the air.
Oh.
I mean, that's like the first emote I think that's done anything really, you know, inhuman or not supernatural, you know, sort of leaving the ground. We've had a lot of pretty elaborate ones, but I think that's going to be my new favorite. I guess the
I already want that one. It's pretty
crazy.
I already want that. What's that all about? Leaving the ground and flying in the air as an emote?
You got get on that Instagram game. They're posting them, and you float around. Your head kind of twitches and rotates a full 360. It's kind of crazy.
I'm having that. The money's being thrown at the screen right now. I've got my wallet out. There's nothing in it. Just come off.
Just throw the physical wallet. Yeah. It's fine.
Throw myself at the screen. Take me. Me instead.
Yeah, but the Festival of the Lost is not like a content heavy expansion. You know, there's not some new quest.
It's
or
a bit
new
of fun,
campaign.
You know, like
It is. It's a good time, and it's sort of just like a weird way that only this game can celebrate just being this game and being in the tower with other people and stuff like that. You don't like have weird celebrate-y stuff in Call of Duty.
And last year, it really took us by surprise, didn't it? Like, we had no idea it was coming. We just signed into the tower, and everyone was like, what the fuck?
I do want to make a point of saying, I don't think they've officially announced that it's starting this week, but this is the week before Halloween.
Yeah. No, they have. Didn't
did
they?
Did they actually say it's coming
this
week?
They did. I thought they were being dubious about the date. No, I can't remember where I saw it, but they said
Bungie
it was
always being dubious.
No, it's Tuesday for sure.
Cool. I was going to say, because if they hadn't officially announced that it was coming out this week, of course it's coming out this week. This is pretty much going to be the last real week that they can run this festival.
Yeah. Fallout is officially announcing it. It's happening this week.
If it
doesn't happen, you can come complain to me. Waiting for Fallout to confirm. But, I love that we're a part of a community where we look forward to things on the calendar together. And we can be surprised by the people who make this game. They just provide us with really fun things. And I'm always going to be appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has a couple salty Sams in their friend group who, you know, Festival of the Lost will come out and they'll say something like, oh, it wasn't that long, or it didn't give me, like, it barely had any content or whatever. And you're like, come on, man. It's a fun thing. They're putting it on for us. I play a ton of other games, and they don't give me nearly half as much of the stuff that Bungie just gives to us because they want us to have a fun time with the rest of the community, and I really think that's awesome.
I'm happy wearing masks. Give me masks to wear, and I'm a happy man.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I mean, last year in the event, we did have a couple of quest lines that went with it, and they were all really simple things, like walk off the tower wearing the Athian mask, or decrypt engrams as the Cryptarch. And I'm sure we're going to get little things like that again. Yeah. But this is just the kind of labor of love sort of event that you're absolutely right. You really don't see it in a lot of other games. And it was a big surprise last year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what we're going to get this year. I just want to see what those Ascendant Raisins are supposed to do.
Yeah, that, I mean, onto them. You mentioned a pretty interesting detail about it was referencing pushing Atheon off the ledge, which was a big problem. It was a they fixed it. They said you cannot beat the raid by cheesing it to make the boss fall off. But enough time had passed where that was kind of funny. We can all look back and laugh. And that was one of the real first indications in the physical game that there were references to things only the community would understand. You know, it's not Destiny lore. It's not, you know, part of the story, so to speak. But that's just what being a Destiny player, you know, that sort of thing. And I love that, you know, with all this Rise of Iron stuff, it's all about nostalgia. And you're like, how can you be nostalgic for a game that's been out for like 2 years? Because this game feels like it's been out for a decade.
Yeah.
And we have all those stories to tell. So I think that's why the Festival of the Lost stands out now. It's just because it's like, ah, yeah, I love this. And we get to celebrate a little bit. It's kind of cheesy, but it's little, also pretty cool.
Little insider Bungie humor, you know, with that Atheon thing. It reminds me of when they put that that little Easter egg in the loot cave in the Cosmodrome.
Yes.
And it's like, if only if you were a player in the beginning stages of the game, if you really have been playing Destiny for that long, you get in on these little kind of inside
I met someone at the wedding who told me that they played Destiny and their friends had made them shoot into a cave for an hour and a half, and they said, this is stupid, and they never play Destiny again.
Oh, that's funny.
And I told them, get on back here.
You gotta come back, man.
It's completely different, but I thought
who
that was
told you to
funny.
Shoot in a cave? I'll go and find them.
Do you remember? Your friends are boring.
Like, do you remember that year two player? There was like a Reddit post, and it was like the top post of the month because this guy was like, you guys, I think I found something that I want to know what it means. Help me figure it out. I was in this area in the Cosmodrome, and I went into this cave, and there was this thing, and I activated it, and there was like a voice talking to me. And it had like 9,000 upvotes on Destiny the game, and the top comment, which was gilded, and it cracked me up. It was like, should we tell him?
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Oh, I love this community.
We're due for another one. I mean, it's been a while. Someone's going to ask. Someone's going to find out the new... Oh, I think I found out a hint to the next exotic quest. It's going to be hidden. It starts in this cave. Sorry, kid.
Oh, man. Well, there's plenty of other things to talk about instead of Festival of the Lost. We have new gun ornaments coming up, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do.
Thornaments,
as
they
it were.
Exist.
As I live and breathe. I mean,
you get the blue ribbon for making that joke the 10,000th time in this community.
I've said it. I've said it.
Well done.
As soon as I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing that I say, and it's the last thing I say before going to bed. I just wake up. Thornaments.
That's an interesting
someone rings.
Ritual.
Someone rings my cell phone. I pick it up. Thornaments.
Thornaments.
So out of all these new weapon skins, I guess, or ornaments, if you whatever, that you've seen so far, which one is your favorite? Kind of a hard question, right?
It is because all of them are looking pretty decent. The Red Death ones in particular look very finished and polished and nice. The thornaments, I'll say it again, thornaments, there is a question mark hanging over whether those are the finished things. I heard someone saying that that they might be like adapted on or changed by the time that they're fully released. And we haven't even seen the last word ones yet. We've got no idea what they're going to look like. So there could be some work in progress business there. But the Red Death one, that seems to be 100% confirmed that that's done. That's polished.
Which one? The white one or the
both.
Kind of...
Yeah, there's both. Okay. The white one, and then there's... What's the other one now? It's kind of like...
The one is like silver and gold, and it has a bunch more of the spikes on the gun. You know, like spikes everywhere. It kind of reminds me of like a Lancer from Gears of War a little bit. It just
kind of.
Very prickly, grisly-looking gun, but it looks really cool.
It reminds me of everyone's goth phase in high school.
Just spikes on everything.
Everything.
This is the Red Death that you pick up when you roll into the mall and you stop over at Hot Topic with your friends and you pick up
that Red Death looks like when I wore three belts, all different color studs. I have to say, I'm tweaking over the bad juju, though, because the bad juju was my favorite exotic in year one. and I actually used it a lot even before the pulse rifle meta that kicked off year two. I thought it was great. It was awesome with a Voidwalker, Nova bombs all day, and now that we're getting ornaments for it, I had this like, I don't know, just I had this little like extra heartbeat when I saw that. I was just like, oh, sure, getting an ornament on my favorite weapon, and they both look. I can't even decide which one's my favorite. It's really tough.
Really, both look pretty good.
I like the one that the white one where the skull has paintings on it.
Yeah,
and there's even a little bit of spider webs on the gun. That's next level.
So the three that we got previews of in the Bungie Weekly Update were, of course, Bad Juju, Red Death, and Thorn. Now, for Red Death and Thorn in particular, we're pretty sure those probably, they might not be final designs, but you can actually see them in the game right now through a little bit of a glitch.
Yep.
If you're inspecting another player who's got Thorn and Red Death, if they swap from Red Death or Thorn and then back to it, the ornaments will show up for you, and you'll be able to inspect them in just for just a bit. Sometimes it crashes your game, though, so be real careful with that.
That sounds like it's totally worth it, though.
Crash your game just to get a good glimpse of this. Yeah. We're not sure if these are the final designs. The second Thorn one with like the lit up handle and the green neon all over it, I like that one.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm down with that. Really, really hive-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
The Thorn being so iconic, it's almost like maybe they couldn't change it too drastically.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so drawn to that. It's got to maintain that creepy, dark, evil weapon in your hands, and both of these seem pretty evil. So
I could just change
the
color.
Like both.
Make it pink.
You know.
No one's going to be afraid of a pink thorn.
Oh, they will.
They should be.
And then only if your screen turns pink when you get shot. Then I'll pay all the money.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yes.
Oh.
And, you know, when it came to ornaments, a lot of people speculated that when it came to Thorn in particular, if it were to ever get an ornament, they would dress it up like the Rose, which was, lore-wise, what Thorn originally was. It was a gun called the Rose before it got corrupted.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. We were going to get, like, corrupt rose petally kind of things. I don't know. Maybe it's still coming, you know. Like, I thought that could have been there.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I've always thought that could be an exotic in the future. And I feel like if these ornaments don't sort of take its place, we still have a chance now to see the Rose in its original form, whatever that may be, in some sort of sequel.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking of something. Like, how would the Rose function as a gun? And the first thing that I thought of sounds a little maybe too OP, so we probably shouldn't do that. But, like, what would be the opposite of a decaying, poisonous gun that burns enemies over time? What about a gun where you can shoot your teammate and heal them? But again, that would probably be a really strong PvP.
Someone's
gun.
Playing Overwatch too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anna, anyone?
On. Wouldn't that be cool, though?
Come on. I think it'd be awesome.
The Rose.
I think it'd be a melee device that you run around and smash in people's faces in the crucible. Smell the Rose! Take it! Smell!
The amount of people in party chats who are going to say, wake up and smell the roses.
Oh, my lord.
It's going to get annoying.
I don't know. I think that alone justifies the fact that it needs to happen.
Yep.
Like right this minute.
Yeah.
You heard us, Bungie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it happen. Done.
But in addition to those three, of course, we are also going to be getting ornaments for the Last Word and Black Spindle. Bungie let us in on that little note.
Are they going to be pink? Has...
Oh man, if we get a black, pink Black Spindle, that'd be great.
Why are you so on the pink train right now, buddy?
I don't know. You know why not? It's good. It's a good color to have. Everyone likes it. It's popular.
I'm on board.
The shader that you get in SRL, the pink one, that's probably the most seen shader.
That's a very funny.
You know?
Well, I mean, it's a little different in SRL because you can dress however you want to in SRL, but I mean, when I'm rolling in the Crucible, I'm looking to win. I'm not going to really do a good job blending into the background of my environment with a bright pink shader and a bright pink
Oh, board. Poppycock. Everyone will be like, oh, stop. He looks so stylish. Please, dispatch me now. Take my life. Have my ghost.
Establishes instant dominance.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I donate my all. Headshot, baiting the res. Oh, my God. He's beautiful.
It's
and then they get picked off. Like, oh, damn it.
See?
Distracted by the armor again. I'm sorry, guys.
The Spink Pindle, yeah, that's great. I like that. And of course, it was for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so you know, pink is a good awareness spreading facilitating tool, and there it's for go. A good cause. But the last word one, yeah, Busy just said in the chat, really looking forward to see what the last one is, and he's looking forward to spending Dora to get in it. I'm going to be throwing dollar at the screen. I want to know what they look like. I want it all. Whether it's pink or not, I want it for the last word. And yeah, man, it's nice that we're getting, I mean, more and more of these weapon skins are going to materialize over time just to keep things fresh. I think it was definitely a great addition to keep slowly dripping in bits of content to look forward to when, you know, because there's going to be a content drought at some point. At the moment, it's kind of hard to feel any content droughts because there's so much to do. It's petering off at the moment, even with heroic mode. But then Festival of Lust come in, then there's SRL come in. So it's really the interesting point is when we're looking at February, March, April time, which is usually kind of the most inactive periods. So like putting extra skins in and little bits and bobs here, that's something always something that the back of your minds to look forward to. And there's really no limit to how many ornaments we can have for all of the exotics, you know.
And I am curious if we reach any sort of boiling point with the economy of ornaments. Stuff like that, you know, it's frustrating to get one that you already got, and if you're trying to not spend money, which I can totally respect, and I think that's perfectly fine, and you get the same truth prototype ornament 3 weeks in a row, and it's been a month of Rise of Iron, and you don't have a new one, I can see why that's a bummer. So it'll be interesting, because if this is the new future, if this is the direction we're going, which is ornaments for all, then it'll be interesting to see if Bungie feels like they should be more accessible, or if they will continue to be just sort of pure aesthetic, which is what they are. Mm-hmm. Nothing more than looks, and that's something you can spend more money on if you want to.
Really, though, I've spent $40 so far on buying Radiant Treasures, and I stopped. I would have happily have spent more. I like to support the game. I have no problem. I'm not like going to shower it with money, but I stopped because of the amount of duplicates from that. I think in $40 worth of Radiant Treasure, there was probably, I don't know, four different ornaments. And you think, that's too much casino tactic there. Like, there should be some kind of prevention for, like, a duplicate, like, replication. And at the moment, there just seems to be nothing. You can literally get the same ornament 10, 15 times in a row. And that's too much. In my opinion, that is a really bad business model, because a lot of people will be like, wow, I got swizzed. I'm not spending any more money on that. You know, you might get the hardcore folk that have got lots of money and be like, no, keep going, keep gambling more. I want the gold truth skin.
I need the skull.
I need it in my life, you know, like, and they'll carry on. But the majority of people will be like, nah, man, I'm not spending any more money on that. That's like 10, you know, 5, 6, 7 dupes in a row. That's no good.
So I think the last thing anyone wants is to get swizzed.
Yes, we don't want to be swizzled. We don't want to be hornswoggled. So, but I do think that it's... I'm not against Eververse in any way. I think that I'm fully respect, understand, and support the fact that companies that make that much stuff and trying to produce content on a regular basis need to pay the staff that work in the environment that facilitates this content. So opening things up to make a bit of cash, fine, but don't hornswoggle the people that are willing to spend money. So, it would be nice to see some variation there. At the moment, dupe rate is too high.
We'll keep our finger on that pulse, because it's going to come up a lot this week and the next 2 weeks with Festival of the Lost, because this was an issue last year.
Yeah.
Particularly with the skull that I mentioned. It was pure RNG, and it's going to be another topic, and it will be interesting to see how it plays out, or if people will speak with their wallets. You know, that's the topic on every game thread. It's just like, hey, if you don't like it, stop buying it, right?
Yeah.
and doesn't know if that, I don't know if that's totally working, depending, based on how many conversations gaming forums have about that issue every single day, day after day. But
and if
that
the major piece of
case.
Advice is stop buying it, you're like, well, isn't the point to buy it? That's the point. And it's like, well,
well, yeah, right.
That the answer to the whole thing is stop spending the money, you know. But yeah, it's I have no issue with the whole, you know, the buying stuff. I think it's they're a huge company that have huge amounts of resources that need to be paid for. So, you know, spending a little money, I've got no problem, you know, spending a bit of cash here and there. Like, look at the price of Rise of Iron, $30. How do you does anyone out there think that they haven't had their money's worth with that so far?
Oh. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, yeah, we're doing it for kind of a living, or we're doing it full time, or at least on a part-time thing. But like, seriously, $30? That was
that's
a bargain.
More,
you know?
I can spend more than that a night out getting dinner and one or two drinks. I mean, unfortunately, I live in LA, so that's not like true for everyone. But I mean, I am so fine with that price point on the expansion. I thought that was wonderful. Yeah. And I think, you know, it felt clearly lighter than the Taken King once we all finished it up. Of course, we are hardcore Destiny players. We understand that we are all the 1%, and a lot of the people listening are also that way. But yeah, it was just like, okay, yeah, sure, maybe a little light. And then the raid comes out and I'm like, okay, worth every penny. I've played that raid more than I've played King's Fall, I think, already. So that price point was absolutely perfect for me, and I would happily happily do it again.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, this certain topic is always kind of a minefield whenever you discuss it, especially when you're a content creator for a game, because naturally we would want to say, yeah, it's worth the money. But honestly, $30 for this expansion, it's been well worth it for me. I don't know how many tens of hours I've already sunk into it, and I have absolutely gotten my money's worth out of it. And we are the 1%, so we do recognize that our experience with the game is definitely different than the average players or the people who
With every expansion, I've always had a gripe on how long it's taken me to acquire gear, because I think I'm a firm believer that the longer you play, the more your loot pool is narrowed down to try and like give you something to keep going for. There's always like the carrot is always dangling in front of your face with Destiny. So they've always tried to do that. So they do starve the content out for heavy users. And I've noticed this throughout all of the DLCs, like in particular the Dark Below was like really focused on this whole kind of carrot on a stick kind of thing. I had no raid armor for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it just got really repetitive. With Rise of Iron, for someone who gets really bad luck with the whole drop rates and stuff, for me, I've been showered in stuff, and I think it's great. Like all the key stuff, like matadors, you know, like those the weapons that you're really going through. And I still get like very intense gear loops with crucible packages. Like I don't think I hardly ever get anything decent from a crucible package. But like in terms of playing Iron Banner and playing the raid, there has been this huge variation of loot. So I'm like, wow, okay. I have loads of different gear for once, and that's like, I like it like that. I've spent a lot of hours playing, but like there's very little that the game is like really drip feeding me, and I think that's a much better way forwards, you know.
So, I really like it that way too. I mean, I feel like there's always some percentage of players who can bring up an argument no matter what, you know what I mean? It's like they're always trying to find the sour side of no matter what we're being handed to us. So people like you and I are thinking, oh man, this is so great. We're getting all this great gear. It's easier to level up. I'm enjoying the content. And then you have other people saying things like, oh, we're going through it too quickly. I got all this gear. It's not fun anymore. It's like, oh, come on, man.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons that there are these mechanics. I mean, looking at it from a corporate standpoint, you have to keep people playing. You know, if there's drop-off in players, then that's bad. So there's, like, new content coming out. There are mechanics in place, You know, like, I've never really believed that Destiny has an RNG system. It's more a private loot stream system, and for good reason. You know, they've just been slightly stingy in the past on, like, well, in the beginning it was very stingy. Vault of Glass.
Slightly.
Yeah, no, Vault of Glass was really bad for gear. That was, like, massive criticism. The Dark Below drop rates. Yeah.
Forever.
The Dark Below sent me away from Destiny for a couple of months, because literally every chance that I had to get an exotic, that was killing Atheon from the chest in the Vault of Glass, from killing Crota, and the segment with the wizards just before the Crota battle. Everything that possibly had the chance to drop an exotic, I would get No Land Beyond. And in 2 months, oh, I had 31 yep. No Land Beyonds and nothing else. Nothing
and
else.
And had a higher drop rate in the raid, too.
Yeah.
Those, that and I think Fourth Horseman and maybe one of those.
No, no. The Xbox users got Fourth Horseman before me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That, I was like, the game was like, you ain't having that. You ain't having that. I'm like, yeah, Xbox got it before me. But yeah, there's always something. But that it sent me away. I don't have any of those complaints now. There's still like the integral things, like everyone who's playing PvP wants a Matador, so that you never showered in Matadors unless you've already had one. A friend of mine who picked the game up and he's literally hasn't played that much before, but now he's playing a hell of a lot of it. Within the first couple of hours of playing Supremacy when Rise of Iron released, God roll Matador, aggressive ballistics, reinforced barrel, range finder, and full auto. Ooh. First one, bang. In his hand.
I'm pretty comfy with my Party Crasher. Yeah. I just gotta say.
Well,
me too, man.
When you get one like that, but he's showered in them now. Like, he doesn't get anything else when he plays Crucible, but he'll keep getting them because he's already had one. But there's still, like, the majority of folk aren't being showered in Matadors. Mm-hmm. There is still that, I want to grind for that one bop, that, you know, God roll Matador.
Yeah, and we've really come a long way. You're just talking about all that, talking about raid drops in Vault and Crota. It is kind of crazy to think back on all of the little ways that the game has changed, and it's so different now. I want to go back and find that dude at the wedding. Just, it's so different now.
It's so different.
Don't shoot into
it's
a
huge.
Loot cage.
Come back with us.
I mean, I fell in love with it with the content that we had back in 2014 in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with it then, and I thought, you know, there's quite a lot of content here. That's what I thought, because I'd never really played a game like Destiny before. But just look at it now. It's just the only criticism that you can have on the content is some of it is no longer relevant, like Vault of Glass, Crota's End. But it will be. Like, everyone has this feeling that April update comes and all those old experiences are going to be revitalized and rejuvenated. And I think that's going to happen. You know, they've already given little hints that it's going to happen. So the Destiny world that what we have with all of the base game and the expansions is massive at the moment. It is so big.
Can I just say something? I don't mean to do this. It just, if I don't say something, it's just going to keep rattling around in my brain for the rest of the night. I don't consider a full auto Matador to be a god roll.
Well, you know,
I know. I just backtracked like 10 minutes. That added nothing to the conversation.
Rangefinder, aggressive ballistics, range booster. That's god roll enough.
Out. Let's make it a conversation here. We got time.
Sure.
Let's
talk
about the definition of a god roll and how that phrase is sort of what we say for all of our guns now, which says something about how maybe it's a little easier to acquire a PvP-worthy role on a gun, which is a good thing. It's good to like more roles and have more options. But
I wouldn't say
God
easier.
Roll is used for
let me
more
just say
than
that,
what the perfect gun is, right?
Yeah. Let me just say that someone did bring up a good point to me maybe a week or so ago. They say, you know, when I'm looking for a gun, sometimes I'm looking for a specific perk for me because it's a perk that I enjoy using. And if that's what you want to have on your gun and you consider it a god roll, quote unquote, for you, then that's fine. I understand that there's more than one way to enjoy a top level weapon in PvP or PvE or whatever. I mean, there's separate categories for you can have a god roll PvE gun, but it might not do very well in Crucible. But for me, for the Matador, I know there was a point in time where a lot of people were really very hype about the minor change to full auto, because for those of you listening who might not know, if you have full auto on a shotgun, what it will do is it will increase the spread of your pellets every time you shoot the gun. And that's not really a... unless you really like a perk like full auto. I mean, the top level PvP players don't prefer that, because what you want is a nice, tight pellet spread. Think about shot package from year one before they took that away. Because the goal is, if you have a max range shotgun and it doesn't have full auto, then you are really able to lock down those really awesome one-hit kills from good, good range. And in my opinion, the God Roll Matador is aggressive ballistics for that extra impact, which no other gun can match. You know, you have a range-boosting perk like Rifled Barrel or Reinforced Barrel, because you need to hit that 32 range cap. And Rangefinder, which can take you just a teeny bit
10%,
over the range cap when you're aiming down sight, which, if you're using a shotgun like Matador, you're probably going to be aiming down the sight when you're trying to kill people in PvP anyway, so why not have a perk that helps you when you do that? And the last perk is kind of up for grabs.
Danger Close. Up
that's
close
fine,
and personal.
Sure.
What's the other one?
Performance Bonus.
Performance Bonus.
Performance Bonus. Is
yes. Underdog as well is another good one, I think.
Sure.
Performance Bonus stands out to me because when I switch from any sniper to my go-to party crasher, I notice myself being able to stay in the game with more ammo. And sniper rifles, I am running out. I'm looking for the green box. I'm spending time away from conflict just to make sure I don't get too far from one. With my party crasher, I never have to worry about it, especially in trials when you've got plenty of time to plan it out. I'll end a game of trials with like 16 rounds for my party crasher, and I'll end a game with a sniper, and I'm just like, oh, thank God I had that last bullet. So more ammo, the better, I think. That's my little personal plug for party Performance Bonus.
It's a little spiel there.
What about final round? What were the thoughts on having final round in the Matador?
On a shotgun?
I've never used a shotgun with final round, so I have no idea if I like it or not.
I have. I mean, I've used all kinds of... Here's a little
promotion
for the Planet Destiny channel. Go dive through the videos from the past 2 months or so. I did a video for PD on the state of the shotgun, and I talked about all kinds of fun stuff. I love shotguns. I know that makes me a very hated person by a lot by a lot of the saltier friends in my friends list in the Crucible. Sorry about that. I do shotgun. But Jesus, what was I talking? Final round. Okay, so
you're talking about being a tryhard jerk.
Being a tryhard, dirty warlock. But you know, it didn't really come into play a whole lot, because normally you're focusing more on other things. You're focusing on map control, on callouts, on, you know, spawn pushes and rotating with your teammates. You're focusing on everything but like, oh boy, I'm gonna get the last shot at this Matador. Don't get me wrong, if you happen to have one bullet left in the Matador and you have final round, sure, and you're feeling frisky, give them the business, you know what I mean? Because it the extra impact that it gives you can extend your one hit kill range by a noticeable amount.
Yeah,
not too crazy, but like just enough that you're like, oh, why, that was that was a final round kill, like, for sure.
Yeah. What I'll say about final round and my thoughts on all perks when I'm deciding what gun works for me, whatever the good bones roll is, I like perks that are going to make a difference in my game frequently. So if you compare final round to performance bonus, I'm probably going to see the effect of performance bonus more than I would final round when shotgunning.
Yeah.
Just like Outlaw on any primary. We all love Outlaw because it happens constantly. Yeah. And it's awesome to see it. I think that's what makes it such a strong perk. It doesn't kill anyone faster for you, but it comes up so often and it makes your experience a little better, and you just love that fast reload. So I prefer performance bonus because of how often it shows up. It's nice when they show up. Like Mulligan actually works now, and you wouldn't use Mulligan back in the day because it just didn't happen often.
Well, I usually get awful luck with, like, basic rolls on anything. Like, for example, rifle barrel on hand cannons is, it's beyond rare for me. Like, it's always, if it's going to have a range boost on it, it will have reinforced barrel, if I'm lucky. But most of the time, it's like feather mag and explosive rounds and things like that. So rifle barrel is a perk that I'm just not allowed to have. And usually when with shotguns, because I've started using them quite a lot over the last like few months, aggressive ballistics is something that I never usually get. So when I see, like I got 2 days ago, I got a Matador with aggressive ballistics, cascade, rifle barrel, and final round. I'm like, oh my God, that's God roll. Because for me, that's God roll. That's as close as I'm going to get to a God roll Matador. So I will use that term God roll for me.
So you'll take it, goddamn.
Yeah, I will take that. You know, that's from absolutely. Like, here's a Lord Highfixer that I got. This is like, this is typical. Triple tap, reinforced barrel, look in the chamber. That's the first look in the chamber hand cannon, legendary, that I've ever had in 3 years of playing Destiny. The first one.
Really?
Yeah. And no rifle barrel, it's reinforced barrel. You know, like, I could have bet a sizable amount of money that rifle barrel would not be on that hand cannon after waiting for that long. I always wanted to try a look in the chamber hand cannon, always. Mm. So, yeah, like...
Well, hey, check this out. This is a segue right here. You know where you can get a hand cannon that meets the max range and hits like a truck? The hard mode raid.
There we go. Yeah. I was going to say, we got to talk about the hard mode raid. I know we get so off track, but that's okay. We like to talk
these
about
are good. These are good tracks to go down.
These are good tracks to go on.
It's all relative.
It's all good stuff. Yeah. But I know the people listening right now, I'm going to make sure that when this goes live on YouTube, I'm going to write in the comments, we start talking about the hard mode raid at this time.
No, wait, man.
Do you want the timestamp? 44 minutes and 42 seconds.
Dude, I know the people want to hear it. That's why they're here. So let's talk about the heroic mode raid. How about that?
Yeah.
Yes. What did you guys think? What was your first impression? Heroic mode raid.
Well, this is going to be my favorite part of the show because it's the part of the show where I don't get to, I don't have to do anything because I haven't run it yet. When it came out, I was ready. I was like, all right, I'm 388. Let's get ready to do this thing. And like my entire normal raid group was like, deuces, we're out. And I haven't been able to get those guys up and ready for it. So I haven't run it. I have no idea what's different in this thing.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Other than what I've seen.
I'm just going to jump right in.
World's first.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I think I've heard a lot of the community commenting on they didn't think it was hard enough. But
really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I mean, at least where I was listening anyway. I've heard some people say they thought it was plenty challenging, and I thought it was great. I mean, I just wanted it to get mixed up a little bit. It didn't go too crazy. I had a challenging time playing it, but I got through it. It's still one of my favorite, if not my favorite, raid, and I really had a damn good time. I did it on both consoles, and Bone's story, what do you guys feel?
I felt probably the same way as you. I think there was a few moments where I was like, oh, wait, I'm dying. This shouldn't happen. I only did it a couple times. But it did happen, and I appreciated a little challenge. It took us a second to figure it out towards the end, as well as in Vasek, I think, is the first boss. And I liked the reasons it was heroic mode. And this is, again, talking back on how raids have evolved, it's been a favorite topic of discussion of ours for the past month because we've been playing this raid so much. But what made Crota hard was arbitrary light levels, you know, and what made King's Fall so hard and ultimately not fun for me was excruciatingly detailed mechanics that no one could mess up at all. And heroic mode of Wrath of the Machine has increased the amount of responsibility everyone has, but it doesn't make anyone again the failure that makes you wipe. And in hard mode, you might have to just decide, well, look, we died, we got two down or we got one down, let's just wipe here. That's fine. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you going like, oh shoot, I didn't press some button or I didn't stand in one place, blah blah blah. It's still an action-packed raid. It's still exciting, but now more people are involved. You know, everyone's throwing the bombs. I loved that addition. I loved how many people had to do everything together, and I thought it was really exciting, but also something we beat in a reasonable amount of time. It's something I'll probably learn just as easily as we learned normal mode, but again, I personally am fine with that, because yeah. I want to play the raid frequently, and I don't want it to take all night. I don't want it to be my entire evening of Destiny.
Well put. Now, there's something in the This Week at Bungie that we did skip over. There was a note at the very end of the This Week at Bungie. Did anybody catch that? That pertains to the hard mode raid. No. Okay.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I think you know what I'm talking about, Link. I think you know. Okay, so at the very end of the This Week at Bungie, they said, hey, your favorite raid bosses in Wrath of the Machine will up the ante again once we're done hosting our upcoming Masquerade Ball, a.k.a. Festival of the Lost. So what does that mean?
It just isn't that incoming challenge mode.
Probably.
Challenge Quite mode, likely. We don't have any kind of inkling on when challenge modes are going to come. All we know is going to the emblem kiosk, there are two raid emblems that have no clues as to how they're obtained. So they can only pertain to challenge mode, and there's two of them. So, you know,
I'm sitting here wondering what they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Siva charges, definitely. I think one of them's got to be related to something about the whole fire team all doing something related with Siva charges. Maybe you've got to slam dunk them through your legs whilst another person is using a fist bump emote or something like that.
Everybody will probably have to be empowered at some point in time.
That's true.
Cycle empowerment.
Definitely. Yeah. Probably something
using
like
the platforms in the back during the Axis fight. Probably something like
yeah,
that.
Activating the super, activating platform, the red, you know, diamond. Yeah. Could have something to do with that.
I had a few ideas regarding the cannons. I wonder if you have to either use them for specific reasons or maybe
switch.
You know, don't do all your damage with the cannons.
The three cannon holders have to switch the elemental cannons. Like you can't use. You have to like rotate the cannon use maybe.
Because sort of similar to Golgoroth, which was everyone has to hold the whatever. So it wasn't necessarily like. You just sort of found a way for everyone to do it at the end of a turn, which is sort of silly, but like I could see them going with that where it's another instance where you can't just do one thing and do the easy part over here. We've learned our lesson in raids of like you can't just let the person carry the chalice. You got to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably going to encourage everyone taking on every role rather than, hey, I'm pretty good on the left side and I'll throw the charge, but otherwise don't make me do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've just scanned across a comment in this pump train Fallout. As long as you have ag balls, that's all I just saw out the corner of my eye. As long as you have ag balls, and I'm like, dude, I've got ag balls. You got cream
dude,
for that?
Dude, my balls are so ag. You don't even understand.
Oh, just
everything
glance
I've got has ag balls.
As long as you have ag balls, you're golden. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about being golden. I need some cream for that. You got something, you know, some deep heat or something, you know.
A little gold tone for you.
Anyway, but, yes, you know, sorry, took that off at a tangent. Hard mode. I mean, I had to stream hard mode for PD. I was really unprepared for it, and it opened at midnight for me. So, like, again, trying to, like, do the whole nocturnal lifestyle kind of thing, and all of my raid team pretty much had just finished work and they ran home to come and help me with the stream, so we really were slow, man. We were so slow, and the funny thing was, like, we didn't get it done. We got to the second to last phase after a few hours. People needed to go to bed. We all had fun, the chat had fun, they were really supportive. We just had a generally good laugh. But the funny thing was, the next day off stream, first attempt done, like literally, like,
really?
Yeah, no one wiped, nothing. Like the second nice. phase, the first phase, yep. And the second phase on Axis, they were done with no wipes, and they were done within I think it was 22 minutes, and you know, and I'm right, like, on. Why couldn't we have done that last night? And everyone was like, well, we hadn't done 12-hour shifts and we weren't still in our work uniforms at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. But in terms of being satisfied with it, like, I think the biggest thing was Spider Tank.
What?
Yeah,
I heard
about
that.
Oh, my God, that was so cool.
Yeah.
We were like, man, this is going pretty good. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Spider tank.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
All right, so since I'm the one here who actually hasn't run the raid, we're going to try something. I'm going to throw some questions at you guys.
Yes.
Coming from the perspective of someone who hasn't done it yet.
Okay.
So what's changed in the hard mode? Like, mechanic-wise, what's different about, say, the Vosik fight?
Okay, well, you know, normally, in normal mode, you have three charges that drop, three lots of charges that drop. Well, now there's six. So everyone, the whole fire team, has to pick up a charge. And they all have to be thrown roughly at the same time. If they're too staggered, you don't do enough damage or you don't take enough of his shields down, and that can elongate the process, and there is a hell of a lot of damage coming in from all the adds this time. So there's more adds. They seem much more aggressive, much more ferocious, and you're taking a lot more damage. So grabbing those six charges and all throwing them at Vosik in a good, decent, tight time frame is the pinpoint of the fight. And the other point was that you have the screens, obviously, that need shooting. We had tremendous success with assigning three of our fire team to shoot the screen and three to deal with the adds. So if you're on the left side looking after the left-hand side, only one person shoots the screen and the other person will make sure that you're not getting creamed by adds. And that was a tremendously helpful strategy for the Vosik fight.
You also had the safety rooms on the side.
Yeah.
Normally, those are just wide open for you to run in, but they actually had doors that were closed to slide height.
Indiana Jones.
Get into the safety room.
I gotta say, out of all the changes to the raid, I thought that was the funniest one. The fact that those doors had, like, the random, like, wall coming down, you had to slide right in, because when I first saw them, I was like, what a dumb thing to add. Like, that's ever gonna make a difference in running in there. Fast forward to, like, 15 minutes later, we're all trying to run in there, and it looks like some sketch from the goddamn Three Stooges or something like that, and we're all clunking our heads as we're trying to slide under the door to get out. Like, no, I was supposed to go in on the right. You're supposed to go in on the left. Just stay away from me, man. Let me slide in. Wipe. You come in by.
I used Yolder's artifact exclusively, so luckily I could slide and then also not get stuck up in my sprint lock trying to squeeze in there.
No.
Oh, God, get
That's
me in
That's
got to
be the worst thing in the world, losing your sprint after that.
Oh, it was funny.
So throwing all six of the charges at the same time, like that means you're going to be exposed to adds like crazy, because waves of adds spawn when the SIVA charges come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you're in the middle, really, you have to be very conscious of the adds that drop from the center, because that
you
charge,
don't want to throw.
So advice to anyone who's covering the middle, go to the left or the right, go from a different angle. And another tip, this is a bit kind of ropey, but like, the charge is hitting him, because sometimes he'll sidestep or you'll throw it and it will sail straight past him and it doesn't count. Being slightly closer to Vosik when you throw those charges seems to wield a lot more success, but it also increases the risk, you know, quite substantially.
Yeah. And guys, if you're out there at home and you're doing the raid on hard and you throw that charge at the boss and you miss, just be a man, all right? Just say that... Say that you missed. Don't be like, oh, someone missed the throw. You know exactly who it was.
You know what you
and
did.
Look, if you're playing with your boys, your real friends, your real true guardians, they'll let it go. It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? I feel like people get so worried and upset in the raid. It's just like, it's all good, man. We're all friends.
Who
here.
Didn't
I mean,
kill their knight?
Who didn't kill their knight?
Silence.
Just tell
so
me.
Disappointed
because
right
if,
now.
I know it's embarrassing to be like, oh, he's standing right there, and he wasn't even sidestepping. I just threw it at the wall because I'm an idiot. Like, we understand it's frustrating. But if it happens a couple times, then at least we know that there's a problem, and we can work around it. So be like, oh, are you having trouble in the middle? Why don't you go on the left? Something like that. There are plenty of things like that. There's an expression that I go by called no Johns. Has anyone ever heard of this?
Yes.
I'm like, I'm
that's
really,
a throwback.
I love
Smash Brothers.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. That's there's right. an expression, there no Johns. And that basically means no excuses. So, like, if I'm playing with a friend in trials or whatever, and they're like, oh, he killed me. I tried to get around the corner, but you know, my controller, like, I hit the button to crouch and it wouldn't crouch. The controller, the joystick. It's like, dude. No Johns, okay? You got sprint locked. You messed up. Don't make excuses. Own it. Because when you start owning it, you can walk down that path to fixing the problems. And that happens in PvE too.
Integrating punishment systems is absolutely excellent. If you make a mistake, you must like slap yourself in the face or cover yourself in some kind of flammable liquid and set yourself on fire. That's reasonable. So if you throw a charge and it hits a bunch of ads, employing a punishment system that involves physical pain or some kind of damage to oneself, I'm up
for that. We're not gonna tar and feather you until it happens five times in a row, so don't worry
about it. Oh,
that
could be the effect. You could get tar and feathered if you miss.
Don't worry.
So everyone's like, who threw it? And you look at that guardian, it just looks like a chicken.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, it's that guy.
Yep.
At that point, just hold the L. just hold the L. Yep. It's okay. Yeah. But yeah, from what I saw and from some of my friends who have run the hard mode of the raid, Vossix seems to be the hardest part of it now.
Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Really, it is.
Yeah. I was really surprised.
Everybody telling me
how straightforward the final two phases were. The with Axis, like the phase one, okay, that's amped up a little bit. But phase two, if you have the mechanics down, very simple. Vossix still, like, you know, it doesn't matter. We know all the mechanics. I've run it through three times, and still, that was definitely the most tricky part.
Yeah, the addition to with the turrets at the end, which is for the first phase of Axis, recharging turrets, definitely something I got a little forgetful with. And you're like, "What is shooting me?
All right, I'm going to roll over and kill the captain. What is that? the turret. We're going to have to wait.
A little caught up,
and it
that,
respawns but, again and again, so you have to keep on looking after it.
Honestly, I was kind of okay with Axis being a little easier, just because you guys know this. I have PTSD from King's Fall, obviously, but I would King's Fall and just go up to Oryx and just be like, "I'm done, guys." Like that, I think that's good. Because I know we're about to do 25 runs and we won't finish them.
Yeah.
So I like that. The end boss is not the most excruciating part, and we still have energy, still good momentum to finish the raid on time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it requires more teamwork, more charges to be thrown by everyone, more jumping around with the cannons. I actually really enjoy being the guy with the cannon in this raid. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see how good you can be with sniping it across instead of running all the way over there every time and predicting it and being that guy to get it down immediately. I have a lot of fun with that phase, and there was just more of that. But I mean, it seems like the DPS is still very manageable. You know, you got the four pillars to get enough rotations in. I think we did complete the boss with a guy down for two or three DPS phases.
Yeah.
So we were playing a man down for at least half of that last phase and still pulled it out, which was great because, well, I mean, of course, that guy wanted to play, but he didn't have to be like, "Sorry, I messed up the entire raid for everyone."
Yeah. Permadeaths. We knew that they were going to happen. We knew that they were going to be added in, and they were indeed added in. So, but it's a heroic mode, right? I don't really see how you could manage it without a permadeath. Yes.
Yeah. How about those drops, though?
Yeah.
Did you anyone
what I was gonna say next?
Did anyone get the hand cannon?
Me.
Oh, yeah. Lucky. Is it good?
Bones.
Is it fun?
Go.
Yeah.
And the sniper.
Tell me everything.
And the pulse rifle, which is it?
I got the pulse, I got the scout rifle, and I got the sniper. So I'm happy about that.
There you go. That's a good haul. Story, I saw you got some of the primaries on Twitter. Hand cannon, I'm loving it. I think this is the standout for me. It's you can max the range. It has barrel mods, so you can squeeze out a little more impact. And so, of course, the first thing I do is jump into private match and shoot my friends in the face with the hand cannon to see what it does.
Love it.
This thing gets down to 10 stability, which is its big flaw. That's pretty low.
Okay.
But it's a hand cannon, and this isn't the most perfect argument, but I can sort of suggest that it doesn't matter because you need to wait for recoil regardless. You don't want to be forcing the rate of fire too much in an engagement.
I agree.
Yeah. It's still noticeable. Still definitely kicks like a Bronco. But with the max range and a little bit more impact, you can headshot for 88 damage, which is a lot. and it's not going to change every engagement, but right. I feel like that's not too shabby for the Crucible, especially in bigger game modes where you get more assists per game. And then you got the little speed boost afterwards. You get a kill, you reload, it's got this great animation, and you can move, you can zoom around. It's like Battle Runner on crack.
That's cool. You can walk. I would definitely try this. If you've got that hand cannon, you get a kill, you get your reactive reload, you get the speed boost from it.
Yeah.
Don't sprint, just walk. Don't click in the sprint, because you can basically maneuver around as if you were sprinting, but still have your reticule like nice and crisp, so you can pull off shots without having any inaccuracy for sprinting whilst actually sprinting. So you just walk around the place and you're still moving as if you're sprinting. It's awesome. Yeah.
I wonder if that stacks with the Radiant Dance Machines.
Ooh, good point.
So then you could get a kill, and then you just start walking while you're aiming. And like your teammate watches you like power walking, like
speed hacks
the map,
or the transversive steps, and you're just crouching really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
like crab walking.
That hunter is on cocaine right now, like, flying around.
There's a good point with the hand cannon. Cool Guy did a really good video on suggesting the Gunslinger. It's like, this is a hand cannon for the Gunslinger subclass because you've got Gunslinger's Trance and you have Chain of Woe. And these really help with the stability weakness that the Fever and Remedy has. So, you know, give it a try. I gave it a bit of a try in Rumble, and I did tremendously well with it. You should definitely check out Cool Guy's video on that. I think it also went up on Planet Destiny. I think that's the Fever and Remedy review. So go and check it out. Really good video. Tremendously insightful. And definitely something to try. How about that?
Very interesting gun.
Yeah, man. And it looks great as well. Everyone, I know these raid weapons have had huge amounts of criticism. Oh, they're just reskinned gunsmith guns. Well, they are before you upgrade them.
That's the point.
That's
the point of SIVA.
Yeah.
That's what SIVA
When you upgrade them, though, they look loads different. And the sight on the Fever and Remedy is amazing. I really like it. I wish more hand cannon sights had that kind of very linear, horizontal kind of line to them. So it just feels really comfortable to use. And of course, you've got all the red glowing, you know, prosthetics and business. I'm really pleased with that. Business. And it's black and red. Come on. A black and red weapon.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
We've been asking for a good Judith D for a long time now. Lore-wise, this is a modified SIVA Judith D.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Yeah. Props to the Judith.
Point to note, though, it does have the rate of fire of an IS Luna or a Devil You Know. So that's not the old slow Judith D or Ill Will archetype, which that's really what makes it pretty viable in PvP as well. But it's an all-around very solid hand cannon. But Story, what do you think about this pulse?
I don't know.
Weird?
I played a round of trials the other night for a PD stream with Just Jason, and you all know who Just Jason is, tremendously skilled player, and he was using the Raid Pulse exclusively, and he went off with this thing.
Really?
Yeah, like literally went off with it. Like, he did tremendously well, 3v1 clutches, the whole thing, man. I mean, you give him a potato and he can 3v1 clutch, but I watched some of his footage back and he was really using it the way that it should be used. So I think it does have a place in PvP, but where it really truly shines is a PvE weapon, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely another one of those classic, you know, Wrath of the Machine weapons where, again, when you're fighting bosses or tankier enemies that take a lot of damage, that extra damage boost, and with a pulse, it's like if you land three bursts, then your fourth burst is going to be doing a bonus damage boost. And this really does come in handy when you're farming your engrams on the Winter's Run or Scourge of Winter, whatever it is, with Draxxus. That's where I tested all of that stuff out. So it's good, man. I like the pulse. What do you guys reckon? Did you get it?
I think it's fine. I just, man, with the Blind Perdition out there, I can't see how this pulse rifle takes that out of my hands. But, I don't have the Outbreak Prime yet.
Right.
I'm just lazy. I don't want
to
do that.
I'm really anxious to see what you make of
that. That's a lot of math.
When you get it. Yeah, I'm really anxious to see what you
And I really should. But, if that might be it if you're just trying to do some DPS, you know, get that fourth burst, doing extra damage, or taking out those yellow vandals that show up in phase one, that kind of thing. It can maybe be handy. I need to give it a little more play time before I make any sort of strong declarations on the pulse, but hey, they all look cool. So
are you telling me that you need to put in more time and thought and effort in something before cranking out Final Judgment?
I don't know why I said that. This is Destiny.
This is Destiny.
We make
man.
Our decisions
can't
every
do that,
second
on,
after
now.
We get it.
Get
with I'm
freaking
sorry.
Program bones.
that was lame of me, and I apologize.
Instant
super
judgment.
Super lame.
Anybody get the machine gun?
I did not.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
The first heroic run through that I did, well, actually, the two runs, I managed to get all of the heroic weapons.
Well, there you go.
This is me with my luck and my, you know, drops and stuff. So I was like, wow, okay. So I stayed up the whole night making a video on all the different perks and stuff like that. Got the whole lot. And the machine gun is, nice. I'm working on a video on that at the moment. So it is very interesting. It's a boss melter. I think that's where it's prime shining, you know, personality is right there. It's a boss melting device.
I don't mean to change gears, but has anyone seen that video of the guy who soloed Axis?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up with that?
What
for a week and suddenly people are...
Yeah, I was just goofing around on my phone on the way back from this wedding this weekend, and I just hopped on YouTube, and it was like, solo Axis, and I was like, yep, I'm watching that right now. I love that there are people in the community who, like, I know the whole thing with Destiny is like, oh yeah, become legend and all that stuff like that. But there truly are, like, legends in the community. And if you haven't seen this fellow's name, I have it written down here. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but I think it's Scardro.
Scardro.
Scardro. Okay, Scardro. There you go. Now, Scardro would make more sense, wouldn't it? Because it sounds like Scarecrow. Okay, whatever. But it doesn't matter. This dude went into the Axis fight. I don't know if it was heroic or normal. If it was heroic, I'm going to be blown away even more. But he did the whole thing by himself.
Yeah.
Amazing. I've
and then
never
Slayer
heard
Ridge that final did it fight. As well, like, soon after.
Yeah, Slayer Ridge did it, I think, today. Yeah. Either today or yesterday, he posted his solo. Watching that guy solo Axis, the amount of things he had to plan for and pull off, that's way too much micromanaging for me. Like, he had to time his super so he could self-res after wipe attacks. Like, bravo.
And
these
I just love how he was it looked like he was trying to keep, like, you know, you go to, like, a circus and there's the guy who has these spinning plates up on the sticks and he's, like, spinning one and he doesn't want any of them to fall over. He's just doing that over and over. This guy had, like, 15 plates that he was keeping up. And, like, it looked like he was on speed or something like that. Like, he's in between damage cycles. He's trying to get any possible hit in that he can. And then,
here's
you know,
my mental image of, like, him doing that, like, in his own dwellings. Like, he's not sitting in a living room with his controller in front of a television. He's in one of those trailers in a remote countryside that had blacked out windows, and if you were to penetrate and go inside, you'd literally see wires and servers and screens all over the place, and then this kind of half desiccated human body fused to a PlayStation, you know, and you can only hear telepathic voices. It's like, come in,
he's Axis,
he's plugged directly into the Matrix,
exactly. He's like at one with the machines. He's the ghost in the machine. He's Siva himself.
But
you know,
but he killed the captains. He first killed the captain with his big fire sword of death. God, I love that sword, the raised lighter, whatever it is. And killed the captain, got the cannon, killed the other captains with that cannon. He brings all the cannons to the front middle, and then he takes out each servitor one at a time, and then he quickly jumps off the map and self-revives as a warlock, because, you know, when you put down the cannon, you have that cooldown where you can't pick up the Siva charge right away. So he kills himself, instantly revives, and it's totally gone. And then he starts chucking the charges, going full ham on poor Axis. If Axis didn't feel like a chump after the first people beat the heroic raid mode in like an hour or whatever it was. He feels like
under 12 hours.
He feels like a massive jump right now.
You just got one man, fam.
Yeah. 1v1 me. Yeah.
1v1 me in the perfection complex, bro. Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I'll be impressed when someone does it backwards with a Rock Band controller.
Well, get on it, Dado.
Here's my solo Axis video, which I did on a Dance Dance Revolution dance pad.
I used a hacked version of the new Nintendo console, the Switch, played it on a handheld console at the park using two little half controllers. Beat that.
Topical. Topical.
Yeah. Excellent.
Maybe Destiny 2 gets on that thing. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm dreaming. But
dream big, my friend.
Dream big.
I'm pulling for you, Nintendo fans.
Well, what do you say, guys? All right.
Anything else about the raid?
I don't know. I think that's pretty good.
Link, if you still haven't done it by Tuesday, and these things are coinciding with Fest of the Lost, but maybe if the timing is right, we could stream Heroic Mode on Tuesday about the same time that it was about the same time that Iron Banner comes out and things like that. So if you want in on that, and we can stream it on PD, I can get the team together and we can get you in.
Very much yes.
Okay, so we'll be in touch. Yeah, man, we'll be in touch about that for Tuesday, because that was the plan. Stream more Heroic Mode, maybe one or two runs, maybe just the one, and we'll see, because it all depends on how much action Festival of the Lost is going to be taking up and stuff. I keep banging my mic, sorry.
It's probably going to be a lot of stuff going on with Festival this week, though.
Yeah. But Tuesday is the raid night thing, so I think we'll have to squeeze it in at some point, so I'll be in touch with you on that one.
Why does everybody... This is nothing to do with anything, but like, why is Tuesday like, oh, it's the reset, we got to get the raid done right away, we got to do it right now?
Like, because I want all the gear.
You have time, my friend.
Monday night is like Christmas Eve for everyone. It's like, I want the gloves. And if anyone is in the same situation as me at the moment, raid armor, again, is like the most cherished thing. Like, it's not
hard to come by.
I haven't got full sets. I think I got a full set of normal gear last week for the first time, and I got the shader, the loud shader. So I want some nice new raid gear, you know.
I am totally going to throw my good friend Pyro under the bus right now. He's a friend of mine. We've been gaming together for years and years and years. Love this kid to death. And we were talking about how we wanted to raid, you know, around the weekend time or whatever. And I come home from work on Tuesday, and he's doing the raid without me. And he's been doing it for several hours with people from, I don't know, whatever, some LFG. And he's getting super frustrated. And then he finally invites me in because I'm home, and we just complete it immediately. And I'm like, will you just goddamn wait for me to come home? Like, the reset doesn't begin and end on Tuesday, buddy. Like, you can take a chill pill, all right? I want to help you. We want to play together. Just relax. We have all week. But people just get so hyper. They just want to do it immediately on Tuesday. Tuesday is raid day, and that'll apparently never change.
I gotta get my Radiant Treasure Box, dude. I still don't have Black Ops Mida. Don't tell me how to play.
Don't you tell me.
It's my reset day. You can't take my gains away.
Oh, man. Well, as long as whenever you're raiding, you let me know, and I can watch from my office at work on the Planet Destiny Twitch channel as I was watching Link play the Nightfall, and that was fun. I was having fun watching you, Link.
Yeah, this is a bit more personal now. Thanks for the tip, man. You made that Nightfall a lot more tolerable, because we were getting demolished.
Yeah.
It was the Shield Brothers this week. Solar.
Burn. Oh, yeah.
And grounded, so if you try to jump over John Cena's head, it's just...
Yeah.
You're done. And Fallout, after like our fourth or fifth wipe, Fallout comes in like, you know, you can just kind of stand next to the wall and neither Charizard nor Blastoise will be able to touch you, right?
Yep.
And we're like, what do you mean?
it was so funny, because you were talking with everybody in the Twitch chat, as you should. You're a very good streamer, Link. And you're entertaining everybody. You're having a good time. And I'm like screaming in caps lock, not at you, but just because there's so many people who are having fun and watching you, but they're like, oh, you know, you have to go over here, you have to use this gun, you have to do that, you have to do that. And I'm like, Link, it's me, Fallout, just listen to me, just stand in the corner. And like all these other people were like, oh no, that doesn't work anymore, that doesn't work, don't listen to him. I was like being drowned out by these people saying it wouldn't work. And I was like, I did it in two runs, for the love of God. Somebody listen to me.
Like, you know how quickly chat flies.
Oh, yeah.
When you're streaming on Twitch. Yeah. So I hadn't even seen your message. I saw, like, your first one saying hi, and I was like, hey, Fallout. And then, like, a couple minutes later, I come back and I see, listen to me! Stand by the wall! I'm like, what do you mean? So we just gave it a shot and immediately complete the Nightfall. It was like year one all over again with all of our favorite strike cheeses.
And how quickly the attitude in the Twitch chat changed. How they were like, oh, I can't believe he didn't do that earlier. Of course that works. I did that. And I was like, you were just telling me 10 minutes ago that it doesn't work. You're trying to pull a fast one on me, Twitch community. But yeah, that was fun.
Always.
Thanks for that. You got us through. We were getting a little salty there. I think we were talking about like our favorite breakfast cereals at the time. That was only going to keep the chat placated for so long. So thanks for getting us through there, man.
And that was a great discussion on cereal. Tier one cereal discussion, I must say.
Tier one cereals, man. Apparently there are some people who don't like Captain Crunch. And
heathens.
I don't know if we can be friends.
God damned heathens.
Heresy. All right. Literal
for
heresy.
For those that don't know what Captain Crunch tastes like, what's it?
Okay, close your eyes for a minute. On stream, come on, close your eyes. There you go. Okay, so I want you to picture a 50% mixture of a corn-based cereal, and then the other 50% is pure happiness. And then maybe if you get like the cereal with the berries in there, and you get a little sprinkle of some berry taste. So a little corn, a little berry, a little sugar, and then pleasure. And then occasionally you cut the roof of your
cinnamon.
Mouth, but that's okay.
Occasionally.
There's no cinnamon.
Okay.
No, but they do have a peanut butter flavor, though. Peanut butter.
Oh, that's
that
for me. Good.
Is
that's
the
for me.
Shiz night.
Oh, wow.
But enough of this.
That's Captain Crunch.
Tier one cereal discussion.
I don't like Captain Crunch.
How? God.
What?
Damn it.
I don't like Captain Crunch. I don't like it.
I'm going to try and push my emotions deep down into the dark below. See what I do. And we're going to move on to questions. How about that?
Someone's just put in the chat. Raisin Bran for the win.
Raisin Bran's good.
Raisin Bran's
that's
good.
That's too healthy, God damn it.
Call me an old man. Raisin Bran's good.
It's great. Raisin Bran Crunch.
Give me some life. Give me some Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, life is good, too.
Do you know what I have for breakfast every day? Green juice made from a juicer with kale and celery and pineapple and lemon and chili and ginger. And that's my breakfast, God damn it.
Delicious.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Do you have a special garden for all of that?
No. I have a fridge. You open my fridge and it's like a doorway into the Amazon rainforest. It's just green. That's what it's like now. That's now. Like a year ago, I'd have opened it and it would have been just milk. And I would have had chocolate, like... it was some kind of nut cereal stuff. I loved it, but it was just full of sugar. It was the worst possible thing that you could have. But anyway, I'm going to stop that conversation because it has no relevance to Destiny, and I apologize.
I just kind of want to say I wanted to know where you got this Narnia fridge.
it is a Narnia fridge.
To other places.
Swap the snow out for greenery. Bang. I'll make a video. Let's Planet Destiny makes green juice. I can see that being a popular hit.
I want to do a cereal tier video. All right, moving on, guys. For those of you who are here with us for the live airing of this podcast, we appreciate you being here. So if you have any questions for us right now, put them into the Twitch chat. We'll pull out a few of them. We'll give you some good answers here. And while
we're funny, hit us with what you got.
Non-cereal related.
If possible. We're done with cereal talk.
Yeah, we're done with cereal.
Discussed that enough.
And I'll be reading the Planet Destiny Twitter here. And
I've actually already got one here from Frost Diaz.
All right, what's
one of the usuals here? He says, "Do you guys miss the year one Nightfall buff?" I do.
Wow, I actually forgot about that until you just brought it up.
Yeah, I mean,
for those who don't know, it was a buff you used to get once you completed the Nightfall. You would get an EXP buff from all the rest of the EXP sources. So I think it applied to factions, it applied to Crucible, it applied to everything that could take some sort of EXP, and your head would be on fire.
I missed the buff, but the blue flames got on my nerves after a while.
Did they?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like, because like when you start getting a bit proud of all your shaders and your armor and stuff, and then it's obscured by blue flame. You know,
I guess that makes sense.
You know, like I don't want it blue. Blue doesn't go with my black stuff. You know,
what if you could? What if you could change the color of the flame?
Now we're talking. It's like the trials ornaments on the armor. It's all pink. I mean, I know I was talking about pink earlier on, but it's like if that was more shader specific. If you could change the colors of that, then I would use it. But like the fact that pink doesn't always go with what you're wearing, and there's no customization, I just don't use. And have you seen a full set of Titan armor trial stuff with the pink things? It's looked like carnival business. It's like shoot me in Crucible. I'm here. I'm over here to pop my melon. You know, it's like Jesus Christ, bullseye.
Pop my melon. Did you
Anyway, yeah.
I've got an image of a Titan in the middle of a Colosseum, just with beautiful pink ornament wings, like, will none challenge me? Shoot me!
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
When I shake my maracas, he goes cheek-cheeky-bone, cheek-cheeky-bone. No. Skating along down the... you know, it's like, oh my God, you couldn't be lit up. You're like a Christmas tree on a... What do they call
Sweet
them? The things
Christmas.
That... float along on the carnivals. A carnival float. There you go.
they float along the carnivals, or the carnival floats. Yeah,
man. No, but yeah, I've derailed the conversation once again. Story. Zilch.
I don't miss him. Okay?
I don't miss either.
He doesn't miss him.
Yeah. Look at this week. I don't want to be pressured or feel like I should complete the Shield Brothers on Solar Burn.
Yeah, that was the only
just
thing.
So I can get more stuff. I mean, I play enough. I'm showing off my bias, but I think I rank up enough times where it's like, man, if I felt like I needed to do that strike this week, that'd be just annoying.
It was frustrating because you needed to do the Nightfall first to get that buff. And like again, you would come home and you're like, all right, who's ready to do the Nightfall? And my friends are like,
we did it already.
That's
why people
have
these Tuesday habits fall out. This is why people do this, because you used to have to do the Nightfall on Tuesdays.
Yep.
But otherwise, you're wasting your time.
Oh, good point.
Anyway, good question. I've got another one here from Festologist, which is, what are any other games you have played recently? I've found that it's good to switch off every now and then just to avoid burnout, so you can keep coming back to Destiny and having fun. What would you
say? Well, I bought Battlefield 1 today, and I bought a copy for Swain as a wedding present.
Aww.
So I could make him play with me.
Very nice.
But I think it's great. I've only played through a little bit of the campaign and one PvP, but they really upped the ante with their campaign mode. Big step up for a franchise that wasn't really, you know, didn't have anything to brag about in that department. It's really cool. They are taking the topic of World War I very seriously, and you get multiple characters to play through, and I've played through like one out of six characters so far, and already that one section seems better than the previous two games worth of campaign. So it's pretty cool. I'm having fun. It's going to be a big distraction this week and for a few more weeks.
It's great to see Battlefield make a comeback after the mess of Battlefield 4. So I haven't got it yet. I am planning on getting it when I'm a bit less, you know,
swamp
focused.
Encumbered.
Yeah, swamp encumbered is the good way of putting it. But it does look.
I love that you referenced the mess of Battlefield 4 and don't even mention Hardline.
Oh, well, I've had to literally take
Nobody
that away from
that
my
game.
Mind. Yeah, like Hardline. I mean, what was Hardline
never happened.
Again?
Didn't
it
exist.
Never happened, honestly.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then we got Skyrim coming up. Oh, my life. Where did it go?
Oh, that'll
Next
be
week?
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to
this week.
Yep. Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Oh.
Did you play the demo?
No, I didn't, but.
Oh, what? My. Play it. It's good.
I am
super psyched for this.
Super, super down with Pokemon. I know, like, all the nitty-gritty, like, EVs and IVs and stuff like that. I'm I'm the guy who goes online to to beat on kids online.
What else is new, Fallout?
Yeah,
sounds,
you know,
just like you.
That's basically my club MO stopping these days. But good times. Good question.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out. Yeah. If I haven't already established myself as the villain of this podcast by loving Thorn and having that as my favorite exotic, I'm about to make at least 75% of the chat absolutely hate my guts.
Let's go for it.
I have spent quite a bit of time this weekend and last weekend playing the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare multiplayer beta.
Good time.
And here's the part where I become the villain. I don't hate it.
I don't am hate it. Having you the paperwork submitted for you to be removed from the podcast starting tomorrow.
I haven't played it. I have no idea. Boss. I've just seen the hate flowing off Twitter. That's all I've seen. But I don't let that color my judgment on a game, really.
Yeah, because also that's Twitter permanently. So
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you have fun, you know, I mean, that's the thing about games. It's like we're not all going to enjoy the same games.
Well, hold on a second.
And
what? Did you just tell me that you were reading hate on Twitter?
On Twitter? Oh, my God.
No, of course not. There's
Twitter.
Never any hate on Twitter.
Not my Twitter.
No.
Not the Twitter that I'm...
The Twitter that I know. Okay?
Yeah. Never seen it before. It's almost as wonderful a place as YouTube comments.
Oh my God!
Yes.
But yeah, you know, it's definitely got a lot of problems. Like the game has quite a few problems, and the first couple of days of the beta were really bad. Mm. Like it was bad matchmaking, really bad balance. But over the past week or so, they've put in a couple of updates. They've changed the way some of the things work, and I played it all today and all yesterday, and I really didn't find myself hating it. I actually kind of enjoyed some of my time on there.
Okay.
The biggest problem, in my opinion, with it right now is snipers. Snipers are... If you think sniping in Destiny is dumb, go look at some Infinite Warfare clips. It's pretty bad right now.
Learn how to quickscope. Yeah.
You've got to. Yeah. They kind of just hand it to you, like, here, take this sniper rifle and insta kill everybody.
Oh, God.
But
I almost
other than that,
that,
yeah,
good times.
Get your time in now before the beta goes down.
Here's a good question from Twitch chat from someone I know, from Colonel Cat. What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
Oh, I've already decided. I'm going to be a zombie clown.
A zombie clown. Yeah. Now, you got to watch out, because I don't know what's going on.
You're
going to
get shot by the police.
But here in the U.S., I don't know if you've heard about this story.
Yeah, I've seen it all. That's exactly why I'm going to be a zombie clown in Finland.
Because of okay. Well.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Story's bringing it overseas. He's started.
That's the only costume that I have apart from a Russian cosmonaut costume, but I've got no helmet, so it's going to be like I'll be a Russian cosmonaut who's lost his helmet. That's not as good as a zombie clown.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's my two choices without shopping. And I can't really afford another costume, so...
You should totally try to find an astronaut helmet and paint it like the Taikonaut.
Well, it would have been good. Or just a goldfish bowl that fits on my head that wasn't glass.
Same thing. You know? It has the same effect.
Yeah, man. I'll take pictures. I just need to find the makeup, you know, because I want full makeup. I used to do makeup in theater school when I was younger and stuff, so I can do a bit of makeup. Ooh.
Well, you guys have heard it here first on the Planet Destiny podcast. If you're on Twitter on Halloween and you see that there's a new clown scare overseas, you know exactly where it's coming from.
Yeah. Me. I done it. Yeah. But, Destiny addict shot dead in the lower regions of southern Finland. Yeah, and the cops have guns here, so, you know, I'm, you know...
As long as they give you the perfect three tap, then I won't be too upset about it.
We'll all be thinking about you.
We'll see.
On that scary day.
Don't lose your 1v1s.
Yeah, man.
There is a upcoming... I'm just going to plug this real quick. There's an upcoming charity stream. And it's kind of like dual themed. It's being run by the Dames of Destiny, which is a really great group of gamers. Mm-hmm. If you've never heard of them, check them out on Twitter.
Yep.
And... they're doing a charity stream this coming weekend for breast cancer, because as we mentioned earlier, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I believe that all money that they're going to raise on stream is going to go towards that that cause, which is fantastic. And because it's so close to Halloween, they're doing kind of like a Halloween Festival of the Lost kind of thing. and they're bringing people in the community onto the channel to stream with them for their charity stream, and I'm going to be going on representing the Planet Destiny fam. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So make sure to check that out this weekend. And the reason I'm bringing this up now, other than to let you guys know about a great cause, is because I'm going to be dressing up on stream. It's a Destiny-themed Halloween costume. Bones knows what it is. He's not going to tell you. It's so dumb.
You're going to be an engram.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. Even if you guess it, I'm not going to tell you. But feel free
to
try.
Let the speculation
begin. Tune into that.
I wish I could tune in for that, but I'm working on that. So I'm going to watch the past broadcast. I'm going to have to watch it.
We're going to find out.
Can't wait to see everyone there. I can't wait to let everyone down with my Destiny costume. It's going to be a great time.
I'm going to go as my true self and take off my human skin and just be Mr. Spooky Skeletal.
The true bones will come out.
But also, I have no idea what I'm really going to be because I haven't dressed up in like 3 years for Halloween.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if I even have plans.
Man, adult life around Halloween can get kind of depressing, can't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to drive in L.A. That's like, it's like the number one night for drunk driving accidents in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a good enough excuse to stay home and drink by myself.
Sit on the porch naked, eating candy corn.
Throwing it at kids.
Yeah.
I get out of here, you.
Yeah.
Ooh, candy corn.
Happy Halloween.
Pick some of that up.
Yeah.
Me? I look creepy when I dress up as things, so I have to be the sad adult who just sits at home and hands out candy.
Hey, that's, you gotta do it, right? Those kids are having a way better night than any adults on Halloween, no matter what they're trying to tell themselves. But it makes kids' days, you know? It's like, that was the best. I remember that when I was little. Or being like that one house that has like good candy. I mean, it doesn't take much to... I think it's... Just get some Reese's Cups. That's all you need.
We actually have a bit of a community event in the neighborhood that I stay in, where everybody kind of comes out. And since, you know, the world can be a little bit of a dangerous place sometimes, and sending out your kids on Halloween is... it can be kind of a scary thing. So what we do is we take the park that's near where we live, and we just have everybody move their personal vehicles out there. They pop open their trunks, and we just fill it with candy. And Ooh. Then families from the neighborhoods that surround us all bring their kids to that, so that they're in a nice, safe, centralized place. That's generally what we do.
That's nice. Awesome.
So I'll be out there honking horns and throwing Reese's at kids, saying, boom, headshot, boom, headshot.
I'm booking my flights.
He's gone. Yeah. I was resisting the urge to make, because that's just such a wonderful thing that they do over there, Link. That sounds really nice. I was really resisting the urge to make, like, a terrible, dark joke about, like, yeah, we all bring in the cars, and the kids come, and they have candy, and it's so fun, and then we sacrifice a homeless person, and then, you know, like, something...
Share out the chloroform, and like, oh, get the manacles, and the ball gags, and stuff.
Just the usual Halloween party, you know?
Very old-fashioned Halloween party. Only one human gets sacrificed.
Hey, I got a question, sure. And it's Destiny related since we've been a little goofy now, but it's also in the theme of dressing up. Lloyd Garmadon asks on Twitter, what's your favorite raid gear set? Now we have, what, Ooh. Four to choose from?
Yeah.
V-O-G.
That's an actual discussion here.
V-O-G. Warlock, V-O-G.
V-O-G.
I really like the V-O-G. That helmet that the Titans have with, like, the glowing red light in the center and, like, the handle on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Warlock facade of the Heathen Lords, number one favorite helmet in the entirety of Destiny for me.
Good call.
It's really tough to beat Vault of Glass. I'll just go against the grain so we're all not the same, but I think the Siva gear is sick as hell.
It's cool.
I love it. I freak out when I get it. Like, that doesn't happen anymore to me, getting drops where I'm just like, I was in the hard mode raid, like, I got the chest, and I was like tweaking out. I love it. I look like a I'm gonna get that Red Death, the new one with the studs, and I will be Edgelord Supreme from Hot Topic, gunning people down in the Crucible.
Edgelord Bones. If you get a chance, if you haven't seen it, go check out the This Week at Bungie, because the very first thing that you see, that banner up at the top, is it's like an entire fire team, and everyone is decked out in Wrath of the Machine raid gear. It looks so cool.
I think, functionally speaking, the Wrath of the Machine raid gear is probably the best raid gear. It's definitely got, I think, the best effects overall.
For sure.
But, of course, it's hard to beat Vault of Glass. But I'm going to throw a toss-up here and throw out kind of a conflicting answer. I like some of the Crota's Inn stuff, specifically for Warlocks. I thought the Warlock chest piece from Crota's Inn was one of the coolest-looking pieces of armor in the game, because it's like this Vampire Lord set. The rest of it I hate. The boots are dumb looking and your face is spooky and smelly and weird. But I always thought
spooky,
the chest piece...
Spooky, smelly, and weird.
That's why don't you like that helmet? It's spooky, smelly, and weird.
Weird. That's the three tenets of the Hive. But I always thought the chest piece from Crota's Inn on Warlocks just looked absolutely fantastic. With quite the number of shaders. Plus, you know, Crota's Inn, we got Sunsetting, one of the best shaders in the game, in my opinion. And yes, that'll be my answer for that.
Good answer.
Nice.
Wrestling sucks, though.
I respect that we have different opinions.
It's all right. You don't like Captain Crunch, so you know. I'm going to look past that.
Oh, that's going to haunt us, isn't it?
We all have different opinions. It's just some of them are irrelevant.
So
and incorrect. Factually incorrect.
Oh, boy. Guys, if you feel that Captain Crunch is great and you know that Bones is wrong, I want to see you tweet at him tonight. I want you to tweet
you.
At Bones _CR. Tell him why he's wrong. Tag me in it. We'll have a good time.
Next week, the three of us will be wearing t-shirts. Bones is wrong.
This is I saw t-shirts. This coming. Yeah. I know it would happen. Well, everyone, thank you guys for tuning in. Yeah. Thank you guys for subscribing to the Twitch channel, for watching us on YouTube. Yeah. Couple things. Check out that charity stream for breast cancer awareness and charity. It's called Owned by a Girl. Owned by a Girl is hosting it, and you can find it on their Twitter. I'll post a link, actually, here. Link incoming. And then we got a little PvP thing going on.
A tournament is coming.
Tournament.
Finally.
Another link coming at you in the chat. You can check it out, planetdestiny.com, the PvP Legends Tournament. This is 4v4. Fallout here has been going at it on the rules. He's got it all set out. This is excruciating stuff, but there's research and science behind it, and Fallout here is the guy that does that research and science. So check it out and get your squad together.